seated. Please feel free to be seated. Thank you so much again for joining me today. It's really great to be together. In fact, it's really great to be together. I don't know if you remember a couple months ago, maybe we should just leave that as memories, but it was really interesting, strange, unusual for all of us. But to sit in a sanctuary and have, I don't want to say nobody here, there were a few people because we're doing this camera thing that I had never done before, but it's great to see faces and to be together. So thanks so much for being here. Whether you're here out on the front lawn or joining us live stream, I'm confident that you're going to be blessed by simply coming together, by being here to worship together. The time that you've given, you've set aside to worship together, I really believe we get blessed by that and through that. And it's when we truly engage, when we open our heart and mind to be in worship, that it really touches our heart and mind. So I know, you know, as we're progressing into the year, it's now we're getting into the end of August, but if this year has taught us anything, if the year has taught us anything, it's that things don't always work out the way you plan or the way you think it's going to happen or the way you're going to expect it, right? Things are so different than what I expected, what I thought was going to happen. And that's really why over the last several months, messages have really focused on content that will support and encourage you, that will give you strength in you, to provide you with hope and peace and assurance and confidence as we are working through and living through this time. So I really do want to thank you for being with me, to staying with me, and for working through this time together, because we really are stronger together. We're going to get into a whole series on that in September. I can't wait to be part of that and be leading you through that as well. But for right now, thanks for what you're doing to protect yourself and protect your family members and others, and what you're doing, and also respecting one another, knowing that we're in different places, different things are happening, but we're respecting one another, and it really is great to see the respect that's happening with one another. So we're all navigating this crisis as the best we can. But remember to continue to respect one another and work together and be together. If there are ways, as I mentioned before, that we can help you, if there's a question you have or things you want to talk about, please feel free to get in touch with me right through the website. You can email me. There's all that information there. Or you can touch base with me. You can use the phone. Those still work, as a matter of fact, too. Once in a while it rings, and it's not a telemarketer, although most of the time it is. But anyways, so I want to let you know, too, if you're in a place where you're saying, I really want to help someone, there's something I feel like I should be doing something, you can go right to our website. The easiest way to do that is go to our website and sign up. Look for the helping hands little indicator there, and then just you can follow that and sign up. If you want to do it through your smartphone, you can text to our number, which is 603-744-8252, and just text the word volunteer. And you can fill out the information, and we can help you help others, which is such a great way to do it. And it's within whatever you want to be helping, too. We're trying to just plug people in and help one another to help each other during this time, as well as any time, but specifically during this time. Now, just to give you some examples of what has been happening and what is going on, is several members of our folks have responded in such a way, and they're helping making face masks. I'm going to take this one out, so this is going to be mine now. And they're all individually wrapped and all this. So they're helping make face masks, and they're really colorful face masks. And they're colorful because the whole idea was to remind us of Joseph. Joseph, who endured incredible hardships, and through it all, he trusted God. So I just want to encourage you to help yourself. These are out in the entryway. They've been wrapped carefully, and all of that sanitary things have been taken care of for those. But feel free, if you'd like one of those, or we can probably get it to you if you're live streaming and you want one. I'm sure we can use the mail and get one to you. Just let us know. But that's one of the things that a group has done. They've gotten together and said, how can we do something to help? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make these masks. Let's make them colored for Joseph, who will be a reminder that Joseph got through really difficult times. I mean, 30, 40 years in jail, in prison, dealing with terrible things. And he did it all because he trusted God. So I'm calling these the Joseph face coverings. I don't know if the group that made them, I hope you like the name. Another way, and I'll get to what's behind me now, another way that you are all of our church family who are participating in this, you are helping families in our community. If you see behind me, there's all sorts of things back here. We have partnered with the community school, the elementary school that's right up the street, to provide essential school supplies. And I just want to thank all of you who did participate in this. Some of you may say, I wasn't even aware of that, and that's okay. Well, there'll be other opportunities, right? But thank you so much for all who participated in this, because if you've been a part of this, by the way, there are 26 backpacks up here for children, and all of the stuff, oh my goodness, look at all the stuff. There are pencils, because everybody likes pencils. There are rulers, because I like straight lines and straight, anyways, but there's rulers, there's markers, there's crayons. There's a lot of crayons, there's some glue, there's backpacks for all of that. So that's going to go to the community school for the children that are there that need that, for the families that need that. So, and really, what I hope most happens with this, I hope everyone who receives this, everyone who is part of it, feels the presence of our loving God. I hope that's what happens. So I'm going to pause for a moment and just pray actually over these, because I want you to join me and pray for these. Lord God, I thank you so much. I thank you for calling us together as a church family to love and care for one another. And I pray with thanksgiving that you motivate us to do things and do things to help one another. Help us to stay in that mode and focus on that, how we can help one another. And Lord, there are so many various ways that we can do that. And I love the creativity that you give us as a church family to do things that are, in a lot of times, so out of the box, like making face coverings. A year ago, I didn't even know what one was, and now here we are. And they're not only being made, but they're being made with love. They're being made and taken care of, and they're being made to care and love for others. I pray your blessing on everyone who touches and is part of that ministry, as well as everyone who receives and uses it, Lord. May you just fill their hearts, their minds with your love. And Lord, for the school supplies that are back here, right behind me, for all of the school supplies, I pray that each backpack that a child picks up and puts on, I pray that when they put that on, when they put the pencils inside, when they put the crayons in, when they take those crayons out and they're coloring with all the different varieties of those colors, Lord, I pray that they are reminded of the diversity of your love and the diversity of the people that you have created to be all together as one people, to love one another and care for one another. And I pray, Lord, that each time they put on that backpack and each time someone sees them putting on one of these backpacks, that there will be a sense that you are present. There will be a sense that they are putting on your love and that you would just fill their heart and provide them with a way to move closer to you, Lord. I pray that they would just draw closer to you. And I pray that you would use us and others to do that. So I just pray these, and I pray that your blessing would be upon these. And I pray this in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, all the different things that we've been doing, it's been a challenging season for sure. I'm not saying anything you don't already know, but it's going to continue for a while. We don't really know how long, but two things I want to say is, one thing is, this too shall pass. I don't know what it will look like on the other side. Joseph didn't know what it would look like on the other side either, but he was confident, as he said, it's recorded in the end of Genesis, that God used that time, that God would use this for God's glory. So I'm confident that God can use what we're going through for his glory, and he will change us if we're open to change. And that's what I want to talk about in just a couple minutes, or right now. But this too shall pass. I want you to keep that in mind, that we are going to move through this. We don't know. No one knows exactly what it will look like or what the impact will be. But we are going to get through this. But I pray that you'll just be motivated to continue making good decisions. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because I want you to make wise decisions because of this, but also way greater because of, I think God wants you to make wise decisions. And making wise decisions is beneficial. It's so beneficial. That's why I'm focusing on that specific thing today. And strengthening your faith. Strengthening your faith because we all need practical faith that will equip us, that will equip you and give you confidence and hope to guide you to make wise choices, especially when the times are challenging. And I believe that you can have a faith. You can have a faith that gives you wisdom, that gives you strength, that gives you purpose, and that gives you, well, you'll have a sense of significance. It'll even give you joy, even in the midst of a crisis. That's the kind of faith that I want you to have. You know, I think of King David. King David, in Psalm 23:4, when he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear." as we go through this valley of the virus, I just want to say, I want you to have a faith that provides wisdom for you, a faith that provides confidence, a faith that gives you courage and gives you comfort. And I believe we can all develop this faith. We can grow into this faith. No matter where we are today, we can grow into this. Maybe this will just be about strengthening your faith, reinforcing what you already know. Maybe this will be about, wow, this is a way I can live my life more fully, that I can really receive blessings daily. I want you to have faith that gives you wisdom to make choices, but specifically tough choices. Because in the days ahead, we will be faced with, whether it has to do with the virus or not, we will be faced with, we need to make tough choices at times. So you're going to need some wisdom. I'm going to need some wisdom. And wisdom equips us to deal with uncertainty, confusion, crisis, everything that causes, all of those things cause pressure. They cause stress. We all have been dealing with that uncertainty. We've been dealing with confusion. We've been dealing with fear. We've been dealing with instability and maybe troubled times. Confusion, of course, makes it very difficult sometimes to make decisions. And maybe you've been experiencing, at some level or another, we've all experienced a loss and a grief. So what I'm about to share will help you with each and every one of these. Plus, it'll prepare you to make wise decisions in any circumstance. Because we all know in the future we will face crises. It's just a matter of what type and how will we face them. How will we get through them? How will you get through them? So I want to provide you with a way to wisdom is what I'm going to call it. A way to wisdom. So that when your world turns upside down, you'll be equipped to live and handle life's crises. So no matter how long this particular one lasts, remember that God has not left us without hope. That no matter what your circumstances are right now, God offers you and I hope. Life is really a series of choices. Every day we have to analyze things, we have to evaluate, and we have to make a choice. Each and every one of those times, and actually, you know, each and the whole cumulative choices that we make influence who we are today, as well as who we're becoming. So today I want to talk about, excuse me a minute. Allergies and something in the air. I don't know about... I was talking to someone yesterday saying the same thing. Oh, my goodness, all the stuff that's flying around. It's getting me going here. But I'm sorry. And the flowers are beautiful, by the way. These are great. We have, like I said, just so blessed to have great flowers. Anyways, let me get back on track. I feel like, what was that saying? Squirrel. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sidetracked totally. Where was I? Today what I'm really looking at, what I'm focusing on, is how do we make decisions? How do we equip ourselves to deal with and make decisions for tough times as well as just every day? Because we do have to, every single day, if you ever thought about how many decisions you make, many of which are just, you know, very basic. What am I going to have for breakfast? What am I going to wear today? Some of us are really challenged with that, but we have help, and that's great. We have all of the decisions, and one of the things I want you to recognize, is simply that you know, the decisions we make basically accumulate, and they do start to influence who we are today and the direction that we're going. So I want us to think about all of those things. I really want to put that on your heart, but I also want you to be thinking about, how do I make wise decisions? And I want to walk you through kind of a process to do that. Because even in tough times, we can make wise decisions. When the choice is really tough, we can make wise decisions. And I do believe that the more we get to know God, the more we trust Him, making tough decisions becomes easier. It's still a tough choice, right? when you're in a difficult situation, when you look at the options you have, and they're equally difficult, they're equally bad, they're equally painful, perhaps, you're in a dilemma. A dilemma. Dilemma, by the way, the Greek word, it's from the Greek, and the Greek word for that is double proposition. It used to be a very technical and logical term around logic, but if you think about it, we use it anytime we have a problem. I have a dilemma. You know, there's no easy solution here. I have a dilemma that I'm dealing with. Obviously, we could just flip a coin. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I felt like, let's just take out a coin. I'll flip it. And that's what I'll do. I'll do that, right? I'll take this job or that job. No, I'll flip a coin. I'll just find out, right? Who am I going to marry? Oh, no, I don't. No, don't do that. Don't do that, right? But there's a lot of ways we can make choices, right? But one of the things that we need to know is when, you know, if we're flipping coin or we're just doing a lot of ways, it's giving up our choice to choose. Your free will is, your ability to make decisions is a God-given gift. That's what makes, part of what makes you human. There's more to it, but that's part of what makes you human. I don't know if you ever thought about this, but the birds and the fish do not make moral decisions. They just don't, right? My dog does not make, I'm pretty sure, does not make moral decisions, right? You do because you're made in the image of God. So don't just turn over your decision-making to chance. Equip yourself with wisdom so you can make choices and you can make tough choices more easily. So this message, again, it may be a reminder to you. It might be an encouragement. It might be new information. Either way, I pray that you'll just apply one or two of these points, perhaps. Maybe all of them, but one or two, and put it into practice for the next 30 days and see how it benefits you. That's all I ask. See how it benefits you. Perhaps you're facing a tough choice right now. Perhaps there's something, you know, in your life that you're just facing that's a really tough choice right now. Maybe it's around finances. That could very well be right now, especially. Maybe it has something to do with kids and schooling. That certainly could be as well. Or maybe it's around your employment, or maybe it's around a relationship, a choice that you're looking at. Or maybe you're working on how to navigate through where we are in this crisis and as we go forward. Whatever it is, I want you to gain godly wisdom to make your decisions earlier. So let's start here. Let's start with James chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. It's up on the screen over here, and it's probably on your screen if you're live streaming with us. But here's what it says. It says, If you need wisdom, ask our generous God. I love that. Generous God. And he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Be sure that your faith is in God alone. First of all, generous. Our God is a generous God. Keep that in mind. And he's waiting for you to ask him. So here's kind of my point here. God's wisdom lifts you up. So trust him. Trust him and ask for it. Proverbs 3 and Proverbs 4 says this, and I like the language of the Good News Translation. I don't usually use that translation, but it captured it well. So I'm using that. So feel free to use the translation you want, but it just says it the way I thought was so cool. Those who become wise are happy. Wisdom will give them life. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but the wisdom gives you life. It is life-giving. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Whatever else you get, get insight, get wisdom. Love wisdom, and she, talking about wisdom here, will make you great. Embrace her, embrace wisdom, and wisdom will bring you honor. Those who become wise are happy. Are happy, enjoy life. That's what it's telling us here. Wisdom actually gives life. Wisdom doesn't drag down life. God lifts you up. God lifts you up. If you're working with God, he's lifting you up. If you're being dragged down, check it, because it's unlikely it's God. The most important things you can do is ask God for wisdom and then trust him. Think about, if we're really honest, some of the pain that you've experienced in life has come from you've probably never done this. Some of my pain in my life has come from my own foolish decisions. I'm sure you never experienced that. So we've got such an amazing church. You've never felt that, right? Okay, I got a couple smiles there. That's good. So don't you, to make wiser decisions, what do we do? Proverbs 24:14 says, you may be sure that wisdom is good for the soul. Get wisdom. And you have a bright future. Think about that, doesn't it? It sounds like that slogan years ago, I think it was, got milk, get healthy, or get strong, or something like that. I don't remember the whole thing, but obviously it was get milk, get healthy. I'm thinking, get wisdom, have a bright future. That should be the wisdom. That should be the logo here for God. Get wisdom, get a bright future, right? I mean, let's face it, right now, the future looks very foggy to me. But if you have wisdom, your future will be bright. I don't know about you, but I've driven in the fog, and sometimes you click on the fog lights, you know, and they can see at least a little ways, maybe not very far, but you can see a little ways. So even in the fog, with wisdom, the future can be bright. Now, wisdom, let me just give you a little bit around wisdom here as far as the context that I'm addressing and we're talking about today. The context means to be wise. To be wise, referring to wise judgment, referring to wise decision-making that is beneficial for you in the long run and for your entire life, for those around you, right? Wise decisions that lead to success. Wisdom that brings strength and favor. Wisdom that helps us avoid acting recklessly or out of anger or foolishly, right? Now, a person that's seeking wisdom, here's some things. If you're really seeking, when we're really seeking wisdom, there's some things that we have to kind of do to prepare ourselves. And one is we have to be open to hearing and receiving, open to instruction and discipline even. A wise person values instruction and even correction because it makes you wiser. A wise person listens to advice and emphasizes their own humility. A wise person turns away from what is destructive, instead deciding what is beneficial. A wise person is characterized by obedience. Wisdom in the Greek and the Hebrew text actually have several terms that I think are helpful to understand what wisdom truly is, because we don't always get what the context is or what the word we're really looking at is. So let me just take a moment to talk about this for a minute. Wisdom itself, different aspects of wisdom. One is knowledge, the capacity to learn, and the capacity to learn, by the way, ultimately comes from our Creator. And it's the individual choices to learn through instruction and discipline. So part of wisdom is knowledge, learning and growing through discipline, through instruction. An aspect of wisdom is also understanding, which means discernment, which means thinking it through, the ability to understand things like what's righteous, what is correct, what is righteous, what is just, the ability to correctly choose between options, right? A person who exhibits understanding is not a gullible person. They give careful thought to their actions. That's out of Proverbs 21. A person who has understanding is slow to anger, avoids, as Proverbs says, folly, and rather chooses the way of wisdom. So knowledge, understanding, and also instruction. Instruction is a word for that in Hebrew as well. Instruction means obtaining wisdom. Providing life. When ignoring instruction or deciding against instruction would result in negative consequence. Right? I'm guessing you've made decisions where you look back and said, man, I knew better. If you've ever used those words, you know what that is. You know what that's like. Knowledge, aspects of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, instruction, prudence is another one. Prudence means to act wisely. The prudent person is characterized by restraint of speech, a steady work ethic. The prudent person seeks God and finds God's blessing. Proverbs 15 says this, the path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he or she may turn away from Sheol and the beneath, which means the bad, right? So those who pursue wisdom will have a bright future. Now, the way to become wise, let me jump ahead a little bit, but the way to become wise is to increase your wisdom. So the first part of this is to make God your priority. Make God your priority. The way to wisdom is to make God your priority. Make God the priority in your thoughts, with your talent, your abilities, with your, we call it with your treasure, with your money. Because you have, every one of us has priorities. If you're sitting out on the front lawn, you have priorities. If you're sitting in here, you have priorities. If you're sitting wherever you are, each and every one of us has priorities. And priorities are either intentionally set by you, or you're abdicating and they are being set for you. So either you set your priorities or others do for you. Whether you know it or not, that's the truth. How do your priorities right now, you can do your own evaluation, it's just between you and God, how do your priorities reflect the love of God, and how do your priorities reflect the God who loves you? Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." We're going to take this apart a little bit. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." Now, without study and understanding, we kind of miss something that's really significant and the deeper meaning that's here. Because the word fear, excuse me, at least the word fear in our language, it means terror, it means anxiety, it means worry, it means horror, it means concern. But in the original Hebrew, it could mean all of those things as well. But like many English words, it has a far greater meaning. And in this text, it was used to mean awesome, honor, worship, reverence, right? Now, reverence means respect, means give priority. Reverence means to trust, admiration, devotion, worship. So let's look at that passage. Think about it this way. Reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Worshiping the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Devotion to the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Trusting in the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Maybe if you have your Bible open and you're opened up to Psalm 111, I suggest you just circle that word. If it's fear and put reverence, just write it in right above it. Or maybe if you're using the message notes, write it in. Reverence. And think of all those different things. Because what we understand when we understand this in this context is it helps us understand, and we can filter through Scripture and find out that, you know, when we worship God, when we come before God, when we put our devotion to him, when we offer our time, our talent and our lives to him, we find out more and more about him. God loves us so much. God will protect us. Genesis tells us that. God will not forget us. Genesis 46 says that. God will strengthen us. Psalm 46 is a great passage for that. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. We don't need to fear darkness or violence. We don't need to fear bad news because God is with us. Right, God's love drives away fear. Here's a couple that I love. God loves love. His love drives away fear. 1 John 4:18. And I don't know if you've ever heard the song "Angel Armies." It's a song that's a very contemporary song, but it's based on Psalm 27:1, that says this: "The Lord, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" I don't know if you ever thought about that. Whom shall you fear? If you're walking with the Lord, whom shall you fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? Followers of Jesus don't need to be fearful. So in this translation, in fact, in the New Living Translation, it says this. I'm going to change that first word. But reverence of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commands will grow in wisdom and will praise him forevermore. Honoring God is being humble. It leads to wisdom. So when we honor God, when we worship God, so one of the reasons we come together to worship God is to honor him and to please him, but it helps us draw closer to wisdom, and it gives us some wisdom. Humility, reverence for God, obeying God's commands will help us grow, will help you grow in wisdom. And at the same time, you're going to see people are going to honor you. The more humble you are, the more you depend on God's wisdom, the more blessed you're going to be. God, you need to know this. God doesn't give wisdom to everybody. God gives wisdom to those who ask, those who trust him, and those who make him their priority. Sometimes we can think, oh, we're growing in wisdom, but we're not paying any attention to God. Truth is, we're not growing in wisdom. We might be growing in knowledge, but not wisdom that's going to give us life. The way to increase your wisdom starts with making God your priority. And then the next part of this is to apply that. Apply God's wisdom. As you're getting to know God's wisdom, are you applying it? I love John 13, 17. It says, now that you know these things, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. If you, what's that word? Come on, wake up. Yeah, I love it. Sorry if I interrupted your nap. I'm just kidding. I should have given you a warning. I was going to make you participate here. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. If you do them. Taking the Bible and just reading it will increase your knowledge. But if you want to increase your wisdom and be blessed, you have to do what it says. This means implementing what it says, applying what it says, putting it in practice of what it says. You know, 2 Samuel is a great passage that he said, as for God, God's ways are perfect. The word of the Lord is absolutely flawless. Samuel 22:31 says this, and he says, and he's a shield for all who take refuge in him. When I have a difficult decision to make, God's way is perfect. It's given so that I can live a blessed life. That's why I go to God's word. James talked about this in James chapter 1, verse 25. He says, but the one who looks at the perfect law, that's God's instruction for us, I call it the Bible, the law of, notice this next word, the law of liberty. It's a word and a description of freedom, of setting us free, of lifting us up. The law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but being a doer who acts. She will be blessed by their doing. And here's the thing. Now, many of you have experienced this. Partly, I know this because you have told me. Many of you have told me about this, how you have experienced it. You've given of yourself to do something for someone else. Like maybe you went and you mowed a lawn. Maybe you delivered some flowers. Maybe you delivered a meal. Maybe you made a phone call, or you visited on a front porch. Maybe you helped someone with a specific thing. I call that loving on someone. But anyways, and you've told me that you felt more blessed than the blessing you brought. That's being blessed by doing. Now, we live in a world that's not always the case, or sometimes it's coached around a lot of things, but we're doing it, we should be doing it, for God and for his glory, to point people and draw people closer to him. Because one of the things that destructs and causes us to stop or not do those things, but also things I've just noticed, one of the key thing I've noticed in the world is, I don't know if you've noticed that, I'm going to call it, people of the world are critical. Have you noticed any critical people in the world? Okay, I am too, but that's beside the point, right? Right? But here's what I'm working on is I'm working on that 1 Thessalonians 5:11 passage that says, therefore, encourage one another. Encourage one another and build each other up. I want to be an encourager. I don't want to be a critical destructor. Now, I've found myself, the more and more I encourage, the more I'm honored, the more I'm blessed. just putting into application encouragement and biting my tongue when I want to, you know, say something that tears someone down, it doesn't help anybody. Getting rid of that critical attitude is so important. That's applying what God wants us to do. That's how we grow in wisdom. To increase your wisdom, that's part of what being together for worship. Regular worship to honor God, what we're doing right now, making God a priority, applying his ways, putting God's ways into practice, doing that in your life, this is how we get closer and we grow in wisdom, no matter where we are on that journey, on this journey of life. And another part of the formula is simply this: develop godly relationships. Develop godly relationships. And this is something, excuse me again. Solomon said this in Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. He who walks with the wise grows wise. Who are you walking with? I want to say this I'm going to say two different groups. Students, kids, you guys that are here, you guys that are on the lawn, you guys that are live streaming, kids, I just want to say this to you. When your parents say it's really important to pay attention to who you are hanging around with, who your friends are, who you're developing friendships with, it is really important. They're not just pulling your leg. They're not just like trying to, you know, not have you hang around with a specific person. It is really important because we tend to become more like whoever we're hanging around with, whoever we're building a relationship with, whoever we develop friendships with. It's really important. Now, that's for you guys to know, and I want you to know that, and I want you to think about that. Who are you developing relationships with? It doesn't mean don't ever have a relationship with someone, but it certainly means think about who you're spending time with. He who walks with the wise grow wise. Now I'm going to get to the adults in the room. Perhaps this is where we can be honest. We know this, but we don't necessarily do it, right? So keep it in mind. If you want to be wise, who are you walking with? Because the people you hang out with, this is for students, for kids, as well as for all of us adults, but the people you hang out with right now are either helping you or they're hurting you. They're either building your faith or they're building your fear. The people you hang out with are causing you to be either more courageous or more cowardly. The people you hang out with are either causing you to worry or they're causing you to get closer to God, to worship. The people you hang out with either are elevating your stress. You've probably got a couple people in your life like that, right? You just go, ha, ha, ha. Anyways. Or they're alleviating stress. The people is a key point. The people you spend time with the most have a significant influence on the decisions you make, impact the quality of your life. So choose your friends, no matter what age you are, but especially for our kids, for our students. I just want to say, choose your friends wisely. Wisely. Intentional. Be intentional and foster relationships that with people who love and honor God. One of the things we do here in our church family is we have life groups, and that is a fabulous example, right? We're not perfect people getting together, don't get me wrong. And we all, you know, we know that. But we are people that are looking at and trying to grow in the relationship with God and grow the relationship with each other. And here's the thing, even in the midst of the crisis, the social distancing and all the stuff we're doing, we can still be doing this because we can use media, we're using live stream, you can use telephones, you can use all sorts of ways to connect with and develop godly relationships, even in these times, right? Godly relationships will bless your life, will help you grow in wisdom, and will help you make better choices. There's such a tremendous blessing, a tremendous benefit to growing in godly wisdom, and this is one of them. You know, when was the last time you had to make a difficult decision, and then when you made the difficult decision, you started second-guessing yourself? Did I make the right choice? Was that the right thing to do? I mean, I know some people that they're experts at that, at second-guessing themselves and think that through. But anyway, so this is an important point as well. One of the benefits of gaining godly wisdom is God sets you free from second-guessing. God sets you free from that. Proverbs 17 says this, sensible people keep their eyes, and I love this next word in the New Living Translation, keep their eyes glued on wisdom. But a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. If you look to the ways of the world, you will wander. And you'll wander around forever. And that's what happens when we don't prioritize God. If we don't prioritize God through worship, through developing our relationship with Him, through seeking God's wisdom and developing godly relationships, when we glue our eyes on trusting, when learning, on waiting on godly wisdom, He will give it to you. James put it this way in James chapter 1, 6 through 8. He said this, but when he asks, he's saying, when a person asks for godly wisdom, you know, because we can pray to God and we can say, I want, God, please give me your wisdom. What is our heart like? Are we open? Are we willing to understand? Are we willing to change the way I'm living now to follow God more deeply? When he asks, that's your eye, when we ask, we must believe and not doubt, because he who asks, if we ask, who doubts, is like a wave in the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he would receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded. He's that double-minded man, double-minded woman, unstable in all that he or she does. You know, with the virus, the winds are constantly changing, and they're constantly blowing. And for the foreseeable future, things are going to continue to change, I think probably rapidly at times. And I don't want you to be tossed around like a wave getting battered by the wind and all of the current winds that are happening right now. I don't want you to do that. I want you to be firm and secure. James is telling us if we're wavering back and forth, we'll be unstable, we'll be insecure. The way to be secure and to be stable is to seek God's wisdom. Doubt. Here's the thing about doubt and double-mindedness. It will even block your prayers because it'll take you out of sync with God. So it will block your prayers. If we're double-minded, we're not, and we may be praying to God, but I'm not paying attention to God with anything else, but I just want you to answer my prayer. Well, God's saying, we've got to listen and work together. You've got to come in with me and follow me here. Being indecisive prevents you from being open to receive what God wants to give you. Trusting God makes decisions easier. It makes decisions easier because God will give you wisdom, and God's wisdom sets us free. And it sets us free from that second guessing. You can walk away and feel relieved. So the last point, I don't know, Matthew 9:28 says this. And this is Jesus. When Jesus had gone indoors, the blind men came to him, there's more than one here, and Jesus asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? This is talking about faith here. Do you believe, he said to them, that I am able to do this? When we go before God, do we believe that he can do this for us? Yes, Lord, they replied, and then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, it will be done for you. According to your faith, it will be done. And faith-filled faith moves God. Jesus asked the blind man here, do you believe I'm capable of actually caring enough to take care of you? And when the blind man opened his heart, when he opened his mind, and he answered from his heart, and he said, yes, Lord, I do believe, he was set free. How open are you to God? Maybe that's something to look at this week or this afternoon. How open are you to God? Will you follow God even if it means changing a relationship, even if it means doing things differently for God? Starting relationships that will foster and grow you? How open are you to God? How much do you trust God? Because the amazing thing is God can move barriers and overcome things in our lives when we trust him and when we open ourselves up and believe him. And I want to finish with this. I'm going to call it a last point, but it's something I think I go back to, I know, pretty regularly because it is such an encouragement to me. because God is so great. When I trust God, here's the thing, he even uses my mistakes. The point is, God, I'm going to call it this, God uses everything. God uses everything. Knowing, for me, knowing that God uses everything, even my mistakes, is really empowering to me, because I do make a fair amount of my own mistakes, right? And God uses that. Knowing that God uses everything, even my mistakes, gives me strength, gives me courage. When I have a tough decision to make, knowing that God will use everything makes it a little bit easier. It's from that chapter, that verse in Romans that says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, what you need to know about this is a promise from God, but it is not for everyone. This is a promise, if you just read those words, this is a promise for those who love God. This is a promise for those who are sincerely growing in God's wisdom, who are looking and building their relationship with Jesus, who are putting him first. Knowing that God uses everything, I can relax. You can relax, because God will work together in all things for good, for his good. So I hope that helps you in developing wisdom, drawing closer to God. And I encourage you to take maybe one or two of those points, maybe all of them, but one or two of those points, and say, this is where I really need to work. Let God, just ask God in the next couple of minutes, ask God, where should I work on today and in this week? And just open your heart and mind to him. And let him fill you with his wisdom, both for making decisions that maybe are major as well as minor decisions. And I really pray, I encourage you to maybe right now think of a decision that it's a difficult decision you're trying to make, and you're facing it. I encourage you to give it to God, but ask God for wisdom. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Maybe you want to pray these words in your heart as I'm praying. Dear God, I pray that you would help us to trust you with our very lives. Help me to open my mind and my heart to trust you for the wisdom that I need. Help me to develop a deeper relationship with you by learning more about your ways through your word, and by developing and growing godly relationships and through worship. And I pray that you will bring godly people into my life that I can develop and grow relationships with. And Father God, through the wisdom that you make available to me, through the experience of life, the life of Jesus, who demonstrated and communicated your love and your compassion, through wise relationships, I'm asking you to help me grow in wisdom so that I'm not building my life on shifting sands, being blown away by the cultural wind of the day or the uncertainty of this world and whatever may come, but help me be wiser. And instead of all of that, Lord, give me the courage to build my life and to secure my life in your wisdom and in your ways, that I may be set free from all of that stuff that binds me back, and that I may be able to experience both your joy, your peace, your hope, your confidence that is available to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I just pray this all in his name for his glory. Amen.